This is not a story about girls named Lucky. Even if the little slaves who arrived in America between 1820 and 1840 had a slightly better destiny than their successors, and that is saying something. They were, like the others, sold by their families. However, they became concubines of the very few but very rich investors who saw a good business model in the American one. Wealthy men that were able to weave shady deals with foreign governments. In China, they occupied privileged positions, so honored that most of the time they were very close to the emperor. Left homeland together with their entourage, wives, servants, and various subordinates, they had huge palaces, Chinese architecture at its best, complete with a large network of internal and hidden courtyards. Dozens of courtesans, whose only function was to confirm the economic and political power of their master, lived there. Chosen amongst the most beautiful, cultured, and with the smallest lotus buds, a very poetical name for bandaged feet, those concubines never left their apartments. They died without ever glancing at that foreign country where they were forced to stay. Their presence was constant at home and compulsory in the numerous business meetings. The garish and precious breath of those beautiful slaves, always dressed in silk and jewelry, aroused fear and respect in American politicians. They felt uncomfortable in such explosion of patent power, so carefully exhibited. They also admired those girls, their moves, their giggling, and all the little things they took care of. Sometimes they joined them in bed, the very place when the finest of dealings happened. Many of those concubines, in fact, came from the most famous brothels of Shanghai. Their training, consequently, was spotless. In all that, they were and remained slaves, very luxurious ones, but still at the complete mercy of their masters. Men who, after that exploitation, repudiated and sold them to American brothels the second a tiny sign of age started to show. The most valued, and it is hideous, were the sterile ones. Still children, they were forced to drink herbs in order to atrophy tubes and uterus. As specified, hideous. Infertility allowed free use of their bodies, confirming them not as human beings, but as objects. Wife, a title they would never claim. No pregnancy, no offspring to reach a higher level. Obedient, silent, at whose disposal of whoever paid more. No wonder men thought they were perfect. Sterilization reached its peak between 1830 and 1890. It concerned not only girls destined for prostitution, but also those coming from wealthy families who paved their way to America. In fact, many rich bourgeoisie and many members of Chinese aristocracy enthusiastically adhered to the emperor and his pressing requests. Sending their daughter overseas as additional wives of powerful fellow citizens who came there to establish the sovereignty of their country was a point in favor to those families, doing well for the household and at the same time supporting their country. Every mother was aboard. Not even one of them thought for a second about what kind of life their own daughters were about to suffer, an existence of slavery, ignominy, and violence. Death was the only escape, and it always came too late. In the wonderful courtyards of many golden palaces, those beautiful concubines were used by men and bullied by official wives, then cast away, poisoned by mysterious hands, drowned in majestic fountains, torn to pieces by very rich clients to whom their master had given them, forgotten, unaware victims of the great power games that were taking place between the United States and China.